Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday to you.
Always on a Sunday.
With Dan and Lo.
So we just got done watching a movie at Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. A movie from 2018 called Aquaman. And we didn't watch the whole thing, but we watched the last half, which is usually the most exciting half of any movie.
Yeah, it was a 3-hour movie on TBS, but we ended up starting around 4:30.
Yeah, it was very weird. I mean, lots of bizarre creatures. And if you think about all the creatures under the water, they all are kind of bizarre to people,
you know,
who live
was
above
interesting?
The water.
There was the sea creatures that we would recognize.
Yes.
And then there was the creatures that were created in Atlantis that were like part metal and part crustacean or something.
Yeah, that was pretty freaky.
And they all kind of like had like a silver glow.
Yeah,
the ones
those
from Atlantis.
And those were the bad guys or the bad fishies.
I still think the premise of the queen, like at the very end, King Arthur says, like, does a narrative when his mother goes back to the lighthouse to see her
husband?
Lover. No, because that was not her husband.
Oh, I thought that was.
No, the parting shot was those two meeting up again. And in the background, King Arthur saying, my father was a lighthouse keeper and my mother was the queen of Atlantis and they were never meant to meet.
Oh, okay. So that's why they called him the bastard.
Well, they called him the half-breed.
Or half-breed, that's right.
Which is horrible too, but...
Yeah.
Did you notice he had the same markings though, the same tattoos on his arm that King Arthur had?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the father, the human father.
Yeah.
But it was kind of an interesting movie because, you know, we didn't know anything about it. And I love watching movies and we don't know anything. To me, that's the
nothing.
Best.
Well, and they kept calling him Arthur in this scene, Arthur in that scene, the redheaded, whoever that character was,
the girl,
interest for Arthur. Was always wearing these kind of scaly looking outfits. I was wondering if she was going to be a mermaid of some sort. She had bright red hair, but the gist of it all came to the point where Arthur became the king.
He was the rightful heir to the throne of Atlantis.
Yeah. And as he emerged from the water, holding his golden trident, he's describing where the name comes from. He's part man and part aqua. He's Aquaman. So then I said,
that's how the movie ended, yeah.
Yeah, it's, well, and then it had this little coda in the movie where this bad guy that had been after him on land somewhere, he kind of looked like Ant-Man, but anyways, he was rescued and somebody was trying to figure out where he came from and was his machinery from Atlantis.
And that one, that creature at the end there, you know, that obviously sets up the next film.
Yeah, some
Aquaman
kind of...
Aquaman 2.
Some kind of conflict between the guy / Ant-Man, whatever he was or is.
Well, he doesn't know the news of the day, which is that,
that
the queen is alive and Arthur is the rightful heir to the throne and has assumed the role and everybody's in favor of it. He's the outlier.
Yeah.
So actually the next movie would be kind of interesting, but.
Well,
one of the things. Yeah. Well, we'll probably watch the next one someday.
Some other Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. We got nothing better to do. Well, it's interesting because as soon as you saw the Lightkeeper, you go, that's Boba Fett.
Yeah, well, that's one of my guilty pleasures since you don't really care for any of the Star Wars shows, movies, and series. You call
Correct.
Them Star Bores.
Star Bores, yeah, the Star Bores series. Anything to do with Star Wars is boring.
Well, there's a character that my nephew, Christian, introduced me to that I'd sort of not really heard much about. I knew about his father, Jango Fett, but had never really heard much about Boba Fett. But there's a film director that took on the Star Wars character of Boba Fett, the son of Jango Fett, one of the clones. And he developed this whole series called The Book of Boba Fett, and he created a story, connected it to the Star Wars universe, and proceeded to develop this character from a bounty hunter who's definitely got some bad streak to him. He's a Mandalorian, but he's in trouble, and he gets kind of lost in the wilderness, and the sand people, who were definitely bad guys in the original Star Wars movies, take him as a hostage, and at some point he saves them by being his badass character of Mandalorian without all the armor, and he proceeds to go back and kind of develop himself into a better Mandalorian as a rescuer of the Sand People. And then he becomes a ruler when he kicks the gangsters out of a town and then kicks the pirates out of the town. And I think he was the successor to Jabba the Hutt. So it's just...
You think he's the successor to Jabba the Hutt?
Oh, he definitely is the successor. He took over Jabba's kingdom. Of this particular planet.
Okay.
Or city.
Okay.
So, anyways.
Well, I don't know anything about it, but I'm already ready to close my eyes and go to sleep over all this description. I can't stand any of it.
Well,
I mean, I listened to you talk about it, and if I had to watch an episode, I would. But honestly, blah.
Well, it was very unusual from the standpoint that this character developed as high tech. And as he was a captive of the Sand People and then became a sort of savior of the Sand People, they adopted him into the tribe and he learned some more of their ways. He had some visions. There was an interesting thing where the head of the Sand People's tribe gave him a gift of this little like lizard that crawled up his nose and got in his brain and helped him see things.
Okay, now can I just say something to you?
Sure.
We're watching Aquaman and you're telling me how unrealistic it is. And now you're telling me the story of Boba Fett about how weird, and this is so weird.
It's quite weird.
I mean, it's all sci-fi.
Oh, without a doubt.
Even though it was under the sea for Aquaman and it's on land or on some planet somewhere with Boba Fett. I mean, the whole thing is sci-fi.
Yeah, no question
about
it.
So when you say it's not realistic, you're right. It's not realistic.
Well, the deep dive into the book of Boba Fett was the successor to watching The Mandalorian, another series by the same executive producer, who, believe it or not, was one of the goofy actors in the movie Rudy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's turned into something of a new mogul in filmmaking, and he's developed the stories that connect into Star Wars, the George Lucas world. And so he's created this series called The Mandalorian, which a lot of people are hooked into. But then at some point, the actual character of the head guy, the Mandalorian that they're telling the story about, crosses over into the Book of Boba Fett series. And so now guess what? They've got a baby Yoda, and you can see not only the beginning of the...
It's not a baby Yoda. It's a... I don't know
Grogu.
What it's Grogu. It's Grogu.
Yeah,
insane.
But everybody...
Did you know that
it...
Buster, our little chihuahua, has a Grogu blanket?
Oh, yeah.
He loves
I've
his Grogu.
I've taken it outside
blanket.
To shake it out a couple of times.
He loves his Grogu blankie.
Well, the fun part of this crossover, one of the many fun parts, is they figured out a way to bring back Mark Hamill as the character Luke Skywalker in the two series as Luke Skywalker after he becomes a Jedi, and he's training the young youngling they call Grogu, and so it's really quite fascinating.
You just can't convince me. I mean, to me, I'll never be interested in it. But the fact that you find it so fascinating, it's interesting to me.
Well, the part that is so bizarre about it is after I've watched the entire, both entire series, now I'm waiting for the next season to come out. And that'll probably be years in advance.
So you're hooked.
But I'm now watching all the extras that are interviews with the directors of the series and the actors, and so it's like an obsession.
You consider yourself to be a Star Wars franchise geek.
Not a Trekkie.
No.
They're different.
But the fact that you're so geeked out over, I mean, everything Star Wars, like, you know, you've seen all the films. You know all the characters. You know all the storylines. And now that they've now that they've been purchased by Disney, and so now Disney's enhancing. Look at the dog. Buster? What are you doing, Bus? He thinks there's something down there. He's trying to scratch his bed to see what's down there. Something must smell good down there. Look at him, Bussy. What are you doing? What you doing, Bus? He's looking at his
little freak.
He's a freak and you're a geek. Freaks and geeks today.
It's a good name for a TV show.
Well, anyways, I was going to say, but even though Disney has taken over, you know, purchased this enterprise or franchise, whatever you want to call it, they've come up with new stories and stories to engage younger generation or the next generation. And so you're enjoying these other storylines like Boba Fett and The Mandalorian. You're enjoying that as much as you did Star Wars, it sounds like.
Well, yeah, and you know the Star Wars series came out with the first episode. It was Star Wars, but they called it Episode 4, which is really freakish. And they went Episode 4, Episode 5, Episode 6. And then they went back and did Episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
And then they went and did 7, 8, 9, and 10, and now they've got a whole new series that takes off from that.
But when the first Star Wars came out, they didn't call it Episode 4. They just called it Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, they
did.
They called it Episode 4. In the credits, they called it
in the original Star Wars that came out in 1977.
Yeah. And the reason I'm...
Was it 77 or 78?
The reason I'm really clued in on that is because I just watched it last night.
Yeah, but they've edited that. They've edited it. I'm talking about when it first came out in the 70s.
It said that from the beginning, that it was Episode 4. And I thought that was totally bizarre.
I don't buy that.
Well, you don't have to buy it. It's just the truth.
No, because when they started them, because when the movie first came out, he started it just as one film. He only gave it episodes after that original film.
Well, that's not true.
Well, somehow we're going to have to do some research to see if the original film.
I've already done the research. I'm a Star Wars aficionado.
I don't believe that. I believe when I was at the movies and Star Wars was playing behind me and I was watching Jaws, and Star Wars was, we were at one of those drive-in theaters, my sister and I, and the Star Wars was playing behind us. I don't think that when that came out, it said Episode 4. It just came out as Star Wars. People didn't know about 1, 2, 3 until after 6.
Oh, that's a fact.
You know what I mean? Like, he decided, you know, when George Lucas decided he's going to come up with 1, 2, and 3 as prequels after he did 6. So I don't buy it.
Well, I've gone so far as to not only watch all of the production stuff about how they're doing The Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett, listen to all the directors talk about how they're creating these, you know, futuristic worlds, but they're, if you recall at the opening, it says in a galaxy far, far away, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. They're really in the present day, the technology is very future oriented, and they were able to take the actual actor Mark Hamill, who's now in his 60s, and images of him when he was younger.
Yeah.
And they had him actually act out the scenes in these new series. And they had, in essence, a guy who was going to be the body double for his body and his face. and they somehow use computer technology to bring the old character back. I should say the young Luke Skywalker back to life. It was really fascinating to watch. And then I watched the story of George Lucas and how he put this whole series together. And one of the things that just has totally impressed me is in order to get the first movie made, he gave up some of the profits from the sale of the movie in the movie theaters in order to have exclusive rights to all the merchandising. Mm. And so that's what has made his subsequent film making a little more independent. It's because he was able to finance most of it himself. And all of it himself.
Ultimately. Well, which is good, which means that he could, you know, live out his vision and not have to worry about other investors putting their 2 cents in.
Yeah, he didn't have to be beholden to the big studios until he realized when he decided to sell it to Disney that he had become one of the big studios and that the bureaucracy was just too much. So
yeah. Well, I mean, from that standpoint, as far as George Lucas and his life and his coming up with this, these storylines and just writing, you know, writing what he wanted to write, that is cool, that he was authentic and true to his vision that he had in his own head. I think that's awesome from an artistic standpoint.
Yeah. And they had in the story about how he developed the story of Star Wars, they also told about his early films, TH-1138. And American Graffiti, and about how he went to film school with Steven Spielberg and George Lucas and Martin Scorsese. And so it was really interesting to kind of learn the background of this really great filmmaker who has developed a whole culture, a whole universe of characters. And so it's just really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The business side, the technical side, to go back and look at some of the Star Wars movies, having seen how they struggled to make the original movie real.
Right.
And engaging.
Technology they used back then, they came up with like miniature sets and did things on miniature scale, you know, that made it look, you know, like then when they filmed it in that mini setting, it looked like huge, you know, they did it that way. They did the special effects on a miniature scale and then applied that, you know, which seems like chalk and cardboard or chalk and stick type of, you know, basic technology. Like they didn't have what they have today with CGI and all the computer aided and the artificial intelligence stuff that they can use in the creative arts.
Yeah.
So it's really, you know, and also he opened up a creative studio to do that stuff.
Yeah. He, several businesses.
He started several businesses. Yeah. To make sure that he could have his vision be fulfilled and not hire an outside firm. But yeah, it's into his story specifically is very interesting. So.
Well, it's also interesting to see how the characters have evolved. You recall from the original Star Wars movie that it started with a focus on Princess Leia. And over the series that involved Princess Leia, one episode after another, she not only started out as a princess, but she became a general, a commander, if you will, of the New Republic's forces. And in one of the additional stories that came off another series, a very brief one, was the story of Obi-Wan Kenobi, and it had Princess Leia as a child in it. And so the newer movies are making for more powerful female characters.
You mean women? Females. Females, Deadpool.
There's male, female, women.
You know,
female,
I hate that.
Women,
yeah,
women.
But you never say male. You only say female. We don't talk about, we never say male this, male actor, male whatever. We say female actor or whatever.
So,
no, women. More empowering roles for women, I think, is the correct
thing. They've also
better
got,
than saying female, because we're not talking about dogs here.
Okay, well, they've got women directors. And in the Mandalorian series, the leader, queen, whatever you want to call her, of the Mandalorian people was a somewhat disadvantaged princess who ultimately has become now the leader because she did the things that, according to Mandalorian legend, would make her the official leader. And so it's interesting to see the character as a leader taking and marshaling the people behind, let's do this together.
Girl power. Mm-mm.
Would that be female power?
Girl power. You know,
she is girl power.
Okay, so let's just focus on that for 10 seconds.
Sure.
So the use of the word female, I can't stand it. And I hear other women use that term sometimes. First female entrepreneur to do this. First female CEO. First female blah, blah, blah. It's so denigrating in my ears. And maybe it's because of my age. But I just feel like the whole thing to give women an equal platform. We're women. We're men and women. Or we're just humans. Or better yet, we're just earthlings. We should say the first earthling to do this. The first earthling to do that. You know, like, I'm looking forward to the day when we are like the bar in Star Wars, where there's all these different creatures from all over on the same planet. And we just are who we are, and we accept each other for who we are.
You sound like Jar Jar Binks when you said, I'm a looking forward to.
I just think with everything going on politically and socially in our country right now, this is a bigger thing. It's a bigger, you know, Star Wars has a lot, like you're saying, women in leadership roles and different species. I don't know if they consider themselves to be different species on Star Wars, but having different cultures and all this stuff come together on Star Wars or anything to do with these other spinoffs. It kind of is showing that, you know, people can all be together and all humans can all be together and all work together and get along together. I mean, that's kind of the, when you look back at the good versus evil, kind of the tenets of the Star Wars films, it really comes down to that. And it's less about who you are or what you look like.
Yeah, in the original Star Wars movie, in the cantina scene, there were
yes
droids and there were humanoids, but then there were other creatures. Some of the musicians at some point I referred to as buttheads because they look like the face of the creature look like a bare butt with eyes and some kind of appendage for lips that they put around an instrument, but they sort of had appendages, but they weren't like arms. They played the instruments, but they really weren't humanoid. They were something else. And all kinds of interesting creatures. And the interesting thing to me is the depiction of all of this different life form performed things in competition, and they also perform things in concert or cooperation. And so when it came time for climactic battle scenes, there were all kinds of species that were cooperating to a common purpose.
Well, that's kind of what happened in Aquaman today.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, speaking of all kinds of different characters, you know what's been going on this weekend in Novi?
Oh, yeah.
It's the Metro
Cosplay.
Detroit. It's the Comic-Con. Michigan's largest Comic-Con conference is going on, and today's the last day. It started Friday night, I think. And we've just seen all kinds of characters in Novi, haven't we?
Yes.
This weekend.
Yeah. There was a group of five women who remarkably looked the same. I thought they were sisters. They probably could have been quintuplets, but they're walking down the sidewalk, and Buster started to bark, but then he stopped, and it was like he was trying to figure out what was he looking at, because there were five versions of the same person.
Right, whatever characters they were portraying.
Well, they weren't in character. They were all wearing different clothing, kind of street clothing. But then yesterday, we saw them in their costumes,
okay,
different characters, which was really kind of interesting, and Yes,
and that's always a fun event. I mean, people of all ages love to go to that. And
it's kind of fun to see the different costumes when you watch it on TV and you see, you know, the news people doing the interviewing.
I think it's interesting that people are attracted to those types of events because, again, it's the type of event you're going to get all walks of life that want to go to something like that and participate in that. So, you know, it crosses over so many types of people, you know, that want to participate in that. So it's kind of cool.
Well, one of my friends from the Lansing area and her husband were into Star Trek characters, and they dressed up as, I forget what particular planet they were from.
I think they were the same planet as Spock.
Could be.
They were. They were from the same
planet?
Yeah. Well, they were Vulcan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. For some reason, I remember talking to them about that, yeah.
And so to each their own.
Absolutely. And that's what this country's all about. Freedom. To be who you are. To express yourself. To be who you want to be. So that's, again, full circle. This has turned out to be a very good conversation in spite of all the Star Wars references.
Yeah.
You crack me up, Dan, though.
Well, it's kind of fun, though, to think about the things that people enjoy as a sort of hobby or a pursuit outside of their work life. They can have fun doing stuff.
And they can do anything. They can be drag queens. They can do whatever. It doesn't matter. Well, it's all wonderful.
Or get into electronica or woodworking
or whatever.
Hunting,
baking,
fishing.
Whatever people want to do. I mean, we are so fortunate to live in this country.
Yeah.
To not be told what to do. We just can't stand for it. We got to just continue to fight for freedom, civil liberties, equal human rights for all. That's what we have to fight for. So guess what? Whatever comes up in the next election, that's what we need to be focused on.
There's nothing wrong with sharing our freedoms with others.
Right. Exactly.
And even if they have different interests than we do, as we respect them, we want them to pursue, as the Constitution says, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
For all humans.
Yeah.
And if anything needs to be changed in the Constitution, it get rid of the word men and just put in there humans or Americans or earthlings, or put in something else that isn't just so male-dominated. I would like to see that change in the Constitution.
Well,
humans.
I like that.
Or citizens of America, and just you can get rid of any type of gender reference. So, right, well, you're a cute earthling. I like you, Denbo.
I like you, my favorite earthling.
And thank you so much for those beautiful flowers that you brought me this week. They're gorgeous.
Well, we're approaching our 18th anniversary, and I thought it would be appropriate to share some flowers with you that you can enjoy as we're heading up to the 18th celebration.
18th celebration of,
First in-person date.
Our first in-person date was on June 18th.
Yeah.
Of 2005. So yeah, 18 years is a pretty good run. I've been exclusive for 18 years. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Though I must agree, crazy.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about monogamy on our anniversary.
Okay.
How much fun monogamy is.
Well, given all the crazy people out in the world, it's safer to be monogamous. As long as you've got the right person.
Yeah, but I don't do things out of fear. So to me, that's almost like a fear aspect of being afraid of other people. But yeah, we'll have to get into the attributes of monogamy in our next convo.
Well, if you're going to be physically connected, you might as well be spiritually connected.
More to follow. All right, Denbo.
More to follow.
I love you. We'll talk soon.
I love you, Dolly.
Kisses.
You're the best.